Hi, everybody. It's Lee Milt here, and I have a very exciting program for everybody today. It's the secrets to a super successful business plan. And with me is a very great guy who I've known for a long time. I've personally hired him to speak at some of my seminars. His name is Robert Scrobe. And you may know Robert. He's very well known in the GKIC world and the association world. He has more than 20 years of experience in the marketing and building business, including building a business, and then he sold it 2 years later at the age of 41. He's currently helping businesses grow by maximizing their current customer value. And this is very important, your customer value. Although he hasn't practiced public accounting since 1995, he maintains his CPA license and fulfills his educational requirements, primarily for his mother, who wants to make sure that he keeps his license so he has something to fall back on if this whole entrepreneurial thing doesn't work out. And we all have to laugh at that. We probably all have mothers like that. He's been married to his wife since 1994 and has two children. He enjoys running and smoking cigars, although not at the same time, hopefully. Robert, welcome to our call.
You know, Lee, it's such an honor to be part of your program. Thank you so much for having me. And it's always a great pleasure to chat with you. I'm looking forward to this. I think we're going to have a great time.
Well, I think we're going to have a great time because I have hired you to actually teach some of my own coaching people how to do a business plan. And the truth is, as entrepreneurs, we really don't like to do business plans. We like to fly by the seat of our pants. And sometimes that's great. But for the most part, it's much better if we actually have a plan that we can create and stick to and have our staff stick to so that we can definitely maximize the value of our customers and maximize our own energy. But Robert, my real first important question to you is, why do most business plans fail?
You know, I think it's really how folks think about their business. And if you Google business plans, you're going to find all kinds of, you know, templates and systems that are really about creating something that maybe a banker would want. That, you know, and you'd spend a whole lot of time describing your business and talking about how you're going to get products and deliver it, and really not at all about the key things that drive your business forward. And that, I think, is really the key, is that the business plan, what most people think about is really just some document that you use to give to bankers in order to get money. And what we're really talking about here is a tool that helps you focus your time, focus your resources on the key drivers in your business that are going to give you the fastest results, the quickest way to the money, and the longest value for yourself and your business that are really going to help you grow something that's going to be sustainable.
Well, the reason I like this so much, Robert, is because, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs just go into tailspins when things go wrong, and we don't think as clearly as we would like to pretend that we're thinking. And one of the great things about having a real plan, and I'm a big believer in having a plan, is when you start to feel unresourceful or lost or not clear where you're going, you at least have something solid to go back to focus towards. And so one of the things that you did that I hired you to speak in front of a group was you talked about how to create a business plan, and you used the most amazing, easy way to do it, which still sticks with me today after several years. It was about, using your car as an analogy of creating the business plan. So I'm going to turn this over to you for a little while and let you kind of get started to because I know there are people out there going, oh, I'm not sure I want to listen to this one. This is my thing. So this sounds way too left brain for me as an entrepreneur, but I promise you folks, this is going to be absolutely gold for you, and we have phenomenal reports for you. So all right, so Robert, get us going with some fun here of thinking of our business plan as driving our car.
And I think it's important because those are the real key drivers, the real pieces that are going to help you make the key things to focus on, that if nothing else happens, that you have accomplished what you need to do to move your business forward. And I think that focus really helps. You know, like I do a lot of consulting with Harley Davidson dealers, and what we talk about with them, what you were describing, is we talk about the swirl. Is they get in their dealership, and the sales manager asks questions, and then the parts guy, and then they got customers coming. It's like, oh man, there's this swirl going on, and pretty soon they're trying to, you know, put toilet paper in the bathrooms because, you know, there's all these emergencies that they're trying to put out. If you think about it this way, these are the real key drivers that you really need to think about in your business that help give you clarity and help, you know, instead of having this big swirl of activity, real focus on the key things. Now, the first thing you got to have in your car is, you know, if you don't have a gas pedal, the thing doesn't go anywhere, right?
Right.
It just sits there. It may as well be a paperweight, a very big, expensive paperweight, but the key to moving the car is pressing the gas, and the key to moving your business is generating new customers. And nothing happens in your business, nothing starts moving until you have new customers. And just like that pedal on the floor, you could press it down further and go faster. And in your business, the more new customers you generate, the faster your business grows, period. That's all you got to know about business growth. You want to grow your business? Get more new customers. It's as simple as that. Having systems and processes in place to generate new customers. Go ahead.
And Robert, I'm going to hold on to that thought for a second, because a very interesting thing for me is that I noticed that a lot of not only entrepreneurial businesses but corporates, they're so into the daily activities of, you know, we want all our bills paid and things filed away, and they're so into procedure that the one thing that seems to be missing is the new customer. You know, getting new customers. How are we getting new customers? That, you know, our time is money and our life is money. And if we don't have new customers, we don't really have a business. The business is dying.
Right.
And a lot of entrepreneurs' businesses are actually dying, and they're in denial about it.
Well, and I'll talk to folks and ask, well, you know, how do you generate your new customers? And they'll say referrals. You know, referrals are a terrific way of generating new customers, but it's not scalable. You're putting control of your business into someone else's hands, and what you find is when they become distracted with their own issues, challenges, and problems, that they're no longer worried about giving you any referrals, and now your business dries up. And you've got to have a way of, it's kind of like in the car, you can say that you're coasting down the hill, but when you reach the bottom of the hill, you're going to stop coasting. You've got to have that gas pedal to be able to press and really be able to control. You control the amount of new customers you're getting by the amount you're investing in the marketing, and it's all trackable, so you know exactly where your customers are coming from. But this is a real key, is having control. And until you are, you know, monitoring and know, just like, monitoring and know how many new customers you're getting and what you're investing, you really don't have a business. You're just coasting.
Right. And if I may say this, a lot of entrepreneurs actually create jobs for themselves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they wanted to be a chef, or they wanted to be an auto repair guy, or they want, you know, something like that. And they feel allergic to marketing, or, you know, oh, I wish I didn't have to do that. So what you're really saying is if you don't have the marketing, your business is really on death's row.
and you know, Lee, I could tell you that I was the last one who wanted to hear this news. I'm a CPA. I mean, I this is not anything that's really fun or interesting. You know, came fun or interesting to me when I first thought about, you know, oh gosh, I'm going to go create marketing systems. But what I really for me, I got into business because I hated my boss. And my boss was making all kinds of mistakes, and I thought, you know what? I can do better than that idiot. I didn't have any marketing systems. I didn't have any processes. I didn't know what really drove a business forward. And I think a lot of people get into business under similar, you know, like I can do, if he can do this, I can do better than that. And then all of a sudden, we don't necessarily understand what drives a business forward. And I could tell you, the growth comes from new customers, period. That's the accelerator pedal in the car.
And you know, this program is all about not only technical information, but really the way we think. Mm-hmm. And so what Robert and I are trying to do is to remind you that you need to clean up your thinking so that you can, again, have a great plan and jumpstart your business and, you know, have a fantastic year. All right, so on with the car.
So now, Lee, get in your car and you step on the gas. What happens? Oh, my
hopefully
goodness.
Hopefully we go forward.
well, hopefully we go forward in the direction we want to go, right? We got to steer this thing.
Right.
And the key to steering in your business are, there's, you know, just like the steering in your car, you got left and you got right. And the steering in your business are two functions. One is maximizing the each sale, so each transaction size, and number two is maximizing the frequency that each customer buys from you. And those two numbers and those two pieces are essential in order to get your business to where you want it to go. And of course, we're going to wrap all this stuff in a business plan and tell you how to use these concepts. But the key is the gas, new customers get you moving, and then balancing, looking at, okay, you know, how much is my average transaction size? What can I do to increase the size of each transaction? So now what you're doing is you're making the most of every opportunity. And then, secondly, getting your customers to buy from you more often, there you're maximizing the value of each customer. And so if you're increasing your transaction size, making the most out of each of those opportunities, and two, getting those customers to buy from you more often, those pieces are going to completely transform your business from really anything anyone else is thinking about. And, you know, I had a consulting business when I first got started and owning my own company. And just by figuring this out, okay, how can I get my customers to buy more? And a lot of that is as simple as raising prices. And because that's certainly one place to start. And then two, by packaging. And, you know, that's, of course, what the value meal at McDonald's is all about is, you know, they figured out that, you know, customers were coming and buying a hamburger and a drink, but by a little bit of pricing voodoo, they could get them also to more consistently get fries. And if they, you know, the value meal turned out to be a huge win in transaction size for the McDonald's company. And so those types of little packaging, looking at each of your transactions and going, all right, now, where can I increase prices? And two, where can I create little packages, systems, or change the pricing? If you go to Disney World, you'll find that when you go up to the ticket booth, the 7-day ticket option is the thing that's listed first at the top of the booth, and then it goes down to a 6-day, a 5-day, but they put the biggest, most expensive thing up at the top, and a 7-day pass per person is, I'm just guessing, but I think it's in the neighborhood of $600 or $700, something like that. And so by the time they get down to the daily pass of which is probably what you were thinking, is I'm going to go buy a ticket and go in. Well, that is all the way at the bottom, and that is, I think, $90 now. But compared to the $600 or $700, that doesn't look like much. And who knows? Maybe, you know, what they found is a lot of people buy something in the middle. So simply by changing the way they present price, they've been able to increase the transaction size. So let's, you know, you think through those types of things within your own business. Next, now that you've got somebody, now that you went out and got a new customer, what can we do to get them to come back? Could be as easy as the dry cleaner who has a promotion to get folks in to get their clothes cleaned. When they come back to pick up their clothes, give them a coupon with their clothes so that they will come back another time. You know, so you get them, create that habit, get the customer to come back. Go ahead, Lee.
Robert, one of the things I heard, and you may know if this is true, I've heard with dry cleaners particularly, if you can get someone to come back three times, you own them.
Mm-hmm. No question. And even like with a restaurant, I mean, how many times have you gone to a restaurant where the restaurant owner asked somehow, either through a rewards program or some birthday promotion or something, collected your name and contact information? Maybe less than 1%. And so by doing that, by simply collecting your name and address, something really very different within the restaurant field, but really not all that hard to do. You have all these customers coming in. You give the servers an incentive to get names and addresses completed. You give the customers some reason to give you their name and address, and whether it's a club or special information or what have you. And now, instead of just having somebody who came and went, you're able to follow up with them. So when you have a special promotion, when you have new products, when you start serving breakfast, when you didn't serve breakfast before, or what have you, you now have an avenue, a direct contact to your customers where you don't have to go through radio, TV, or newspaper, other people's media. You've got your own. And so understanding that a huge part of getting to where you want to go is once you get a new customer, capture that customer, get their information, and focus on, all right, how can I increase the value of this customer so that it's not just a one-time transaction, but it happens over and over again?
What do you think of those referral services? I see it with dentists a lot, where they tell their existing patients, if you refer someone, you get something.
Mm-hmm. I think that's very smart. And I think that what that does is on the referral side, it's a great new customer generation strategy. It helps, you know, for the guy who's saying, oh yeah, I get my customers through referrals. Well, this is a process that helps you take control of that and helps you generate new customers kind of on an ongoing basis through referrals. So it doesn't happen by mistake. Instead, you take what is happening by mistake and you increase it by making it happen on purpose.
Excellent.
But so the steering is your maximizing customer value and maximizing transaction size. Now, if you're running down the road and you are pressing the gas and you're steering back and forth, are you going to get where you're going? Not unless you have some idea, not unless you can see, right?
Right.
If you don't have any, visual gauges, to tell you how fast you're going, how many miles, or really even see anything, then you're not going to end up where you want to be. And so you've got to have, in your car, you've got a dashboard that tells you your speed, it tells you how many miles. Well, in your business, you've got to have numbers. And you've got to be tracking the number of new customers from month to month, the number of the transaction size from month to month. You want to be, measuring the lifetime value of your customer. Also, depending on how sophisticated you get, and I understand at this point, if you are just thinking about this, we're about to blow your mind, but this is really not that hard. But you'd want to, when you get advanced, you want to measure, how many customers have bought from me within the last 30 days, how many have bought, 30 to 60, and then 60 to 90, and then plus 90, so that you can track and say, how many customers do I have on my list that haven't come in and haven't bought from me in the last 90 days? And depending on your business, if it makes sense to make those windows by quarter or something because your customers don't normally come in on a monthly basis or weekly basis, you need to recalibrate that to quarterly or something else, it's essential that you are, if nothing else, you're going to want to track the number of new customers and the number, your transaction size, and the lifetime customer value. Because just like, and you want to have some sort of guidepost of what you want those numbers to be. When you're going down the road, if you know you're going too slow, the speed limit is 55, you look at your dashboard and it says 25. Well, geez, I know I got to press the gas in order to get to my destination in a timely manner. I need to go ahead and get going. Well, that's the sort of thing that you need in your business is if you can see what your goal, you figure out what your goals are for your business growth and where you want your business to be 12 months from now, then you can tell very quickly if you aren't generating the number of new customers you need in order to get to those goals, you got to increase that rate. If the number of new customers is good, but the customer value isn't what it needs to be, you can focus on that. If the transaction size isn't what it needs to be, you can play around with that. So it gives you it flying blind. In your business is just like driving blind in a car. Chances are something bad is going to happen, but if nothing else, you aren't going to reach your destination.
Exactly. I know that, how long were you a CPA?
Oh, I've been a CPA since, I guess, 94.
When you were a CPA, we have some CPAs that are listening today. Did you have any particular ways that you, increased your business as a CPA?
Well, I was a junior little peon in the CPA firm, so I wasn't I wasn't one of the rainmakers or anybody at the firm, and it was a local firm. For any business, you really want to be able to focus on some sort of paid media, something that you can control and ramp up if you need to be able to generate more customers. So whether it be ads for special niches within your customer base, where you are helping them solve helping them solve some particular problem, whether it's if you're a CPA, then just off the top of my head, some of the niches are small business owners, a little bit larger businesses. You've got nonprofits. You've got government. You've got individuals, and even within individuals, you've got, you know, people with IRS tax problems. You've got wealthy people. You've got people who are, you know, whose incomes are growing and they need a little bit more planning. So, you know, by focusing on each of these niches, when you look at marketing, it's like, oh my gosh, how am I going to get new customers? It feels overwhelming. But then when you break it down and you go, all right, who are my very best customers? And let me look at all the little different niches and all the little different types of customers and why they use my service or why they buy my product. And now, okay, these people seem to get the best value from what I do, and they're most valuable for me. So now let me figure out where they are and how to talk to them in order to get more customers like that. And when you focus it down on a little bitty niche, one, it's a lot less expensive because you're not trying to market to the whole world. And two, it's a lot more effective because you're able, where everybody else is out there just marketing, hi, I'm a CPA, or hi, I'm this, come see me. You are able to be laser focused on exactly who you need with a great message that promises to solve their problem, and you generate the high value customers and let everybody else go after the great unwashed masses.
That's fantastic advice. I was in Atlanta recently and happened to turn on the TV, and there was a guy standing on a big truck, and he was a lawyer, and I'd never seen this in my life, and he had niched his business to, if you've been in a big truck accident.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually hilarious, but it was also brilliant, because apparently there are a lot of big truck accidents. And I had never heard any lawyer anywhere go for that particular niche, and I was actually impressed with the guy that he found this niche and he was advertising on television for it. So that's brilliant advice. Thank you very much, Robert.
You know, fear is, though, and this is a little bit of a segue that we've gone on, but the greatest fear when I give this advice is, well, but if I limit my practice, I won't have all these other customers coming to me. You know, that guy who is doing the ad about the truck, he still gets leads for other types of personal injury cases, and I can tell you he's also getting leads for bankruptcy or wills, estate, you know, all the other kind of bread and butter law that people, you know, ask, go to attorneys for. The thing is, you know, and yeah, he's probably referring most of that other stuff that's not within the personal injury area out, but when you limit your marketing, you are not eliminating all the other leads that you're already generating. Instead, you are increasing the number of high value leads that you're targeting. And that's the critical thing, is people think that they're giving up something by niching, but what you're doing is you're just focusing that one message, like a laser beam, on that high-value customer. And in addition to everything else that's happening, you're going to attract that high-value customer at a greater rate. If any of the people you know or anybody anywhere in your sphere of influence, somebody mentioned to you that they were involved or a family member of theirs was involved in a big truck accident, boom, that guy in Atlanta is going to come to mind.
Exactly.
And that is the power of having each of those messages niched and having it be so specific as to, you know, like that, doesn't eliminate messages. In fact, it makes you top of mind for each of those categories, so that when somebody thinks of a particular issue, or you know, whether it's in themselves or they come across it, oh, I know exactly the person you should speak to. That's the
and
power.
And there's another psychological thing to that, that as human beings, when we see someone that we perceive doing something very well, in our brains, we actually connect that we think they do everything well in that field.
Mm-hmm. That's also that's very, very powerful. So by you get credibility through your whole sphere of expertise by clearly demonstrating your expertise in a particular area. Very powerful. You're absolutely right, Lee.
All right,
well,
so where are we? We're still driving.
All right, we're driving the car. You've got the gas pedal. You're steering. You've got the gas pedal, which is new customers. You're steering because it is because you got to get where you want to go. You have a dashboard with the key figures and numbers, so you know where you're going. You know the rate at which you're moving, and you're getting yourself there. The one last point I want to make on that is a lot of folks, certainly as accountants, they give you financial reports or accounting reports as key numbers, and financial reports are critical. They're certainly important. I went a long time to school to figure out how to create those, but those aren't really the numbers that you are what you really need. Financial reports are about the past, and so if you're trying to steer your business based on financial reports, that's just like driving the car using only your rear view mirror. It's going to be very difficult moving forward only looking at the rear view. So you've got to have forward-looking numbers such as the rate of new customer growth, the customer value, and the transaction size. And then fourth, Lee, you're from the South, I'm from the South. If you're driving around, especially in the summers, it is darn hot and uncomfortable in that car. And so you've got to have some creature comfort, some air conditioning, some things that make life in that vehicle a lot more bearable, especially if you're going a long distance. And in your business, you're going to plan on going a long distance. You want to keep this thing going for a long time. And in your business, the creature comforts are business systems and processes. Being intentional about the systems and processes that you create in your business that make you more effective and help you systemize. And this was a thing that I had read all the books and looked at all different kinds of business system coaching programs and really what it all came down to is I was just totally exhausted. I had grown my company and I thought that I couldn't. I was like, man, I got to do this. Or it's like, oh, it would take me just as long to delegate this as if I just do it myself. Or when somebody did, or a team member or a vendor or somebody did something wrong, it's like, shoot, I'll just do this myself. And what I figured out is I can't grow if I'm going to try to do everything myself. And the switch was, I had to become better about doing things through other people. I had learned how to do things myself, and by golly, I was pretty awesome. There's really nobody who could get work done as effectively as I can. I am a machine. But I get topped out. I only have so many hours a day, and I'm less and less interested in working all the time. And by golly, for a long time, I was working 80, 90 hours a week. And what I figured out was all that was doing was making me tired. That wasn't growing my business. The rate at which I was growing was topped out. And what I had to do was become awesome at delegating and getting work done through others. And that is just like you learned how to get things done in your own business, just how you learned some skills. Getting things done through others, creating business systems and processes is a skill that you can learn. And I get it that, people just don't care as much as I do. I understand, and I certainly understand the sentiment, and I understand what you're dealing with. The challenge is it doesn't really matter. If you've got systems and processes in place, checklists, documented ways of things happening within your business, then folks don't have to be as dedicated and as determined as you in order to be darn effective at getting the work done. And just like, you know, the work that we do with the Harley dealers, having these checklists and processes and systems are going to really help you combat the swirl so that you're not the one where people are asking every little thing, every emergency comes to you. You've got, you've given them the criteria to be able to make decisions so that you don't have to make each and every decision. It was when I, and I didn't come to this decision easily. It was, I mean, it was thrust upon me. I was like, oh my gosh, I am never going to be getting out of this business unless I figure this out. And then as soon as I decided that I was going to become good and I was going to invest time in creating systems, that's when it happened for me.
I could not agree more. As a professional speaker for over 20 years, and I was gone all the time, I had, for my office just to survive, I had to create systems and processes and checklist, because I hired people who had to, you know, basically run the business for me while I was on the road. And, you know, I only got to talk to them on the phone occasionally. So I'm 1,000% in agreement with this, Robert. Mm-hmm. And the fact that when we do everything ourselves, not only, you know, can we not grow, but we actually end up very exhausted and bitter and tired and, you know, just unhappy campers, which unfortunately affects the balance of our life and our family life and everything. And so, you know, I know a lot of people listening today don't have assistants. They, you know, and I highly recommend that if you don't have great assistants, your business just cannot thrive.
And I get it too. It's like, oh, well, what would I have the assistant do? You know, they don't know anything. And it's really pretty when you figure out, like, okay, I'm gonna document. One of the first places I started was I simply started creating systems and checklists for myself. Like, okay, you know, let me, and it's as simple as packing. I actually now have a checklist when I'm going on a trip. I have a little packing checklist of what I need to put in my suitcase. And for years I didn't have this. I just did it off of memory. And for years there, you know, on any given trip, you know, not every time, but one out of five, I'd forget something like a belt or shoes or, you know, and then, you know, 8 trips later I would forget socks. You know, it's just like, it just didn't cross my mind to go ahead and grab socks out of the drawer and put them in there in the suitcase. And so now, and even now that I've got the checklist, I kind of go, oh yeah, I know what to do. It's like, no, go look at the checklist, because, you know, when you got the checklist and you use the checklist, you don't miss something. When you don't use the checklist, it's easy to. And in fact, what happens, Lee, is I am now a lot faster packer. It's a lot more efficient of getting the job done now that I've got the list, because it's just, okay, how many days am I gone? All right, 1, 2, you know, it's 3 days. Okay, 1, 2, 3 of this, 1, 2, 3 of that. You know, boom, boom, boom. You don't even have to think. You just look at the checklist, and it happens. And now that you've got the checklist on whether it's something as simple as packing or something as, you know, simple like that in your business, now you've got the power to delegate, because you've gotten your judgment out of this. You've put your judgment into the checklist, and now you're able to delegate this to others. And instead of trying to manage and go behind and look in people's desks and try to figure out if they've done something right, now it's, all right, where's your checklist? You know, I need your checklist at the end of every day, so the daily tasks. So, and then the weekly task checklist, turn that in. And even then, you can delegate to someone else to receive all the checklists, make sure all of them were received, and do little testing to make sure things have gotten done. So, you know, these little checklists and procedures can really systemize just your own life much less make it then a lot easier to delegate to others. And that's what you figure out when you start running your life with these checklists, is that you get these tasks down to what they need to be, and you click them off, and there aren't about a whole bunch of other things. And so you save yourself time, just like having a list when you go to the grocery store. You don't buy things you don't need. You don't do things you don't need to do when you've got a checklist, a system and process that helps you run this stuff. Same with your people.
Exactly. We call it our resource list at our office, and we're very big on checklists. And I thank you so much. You're singing my tune. Okay, so so what's next?
Well, those are the four things about driving the car. You got to have the gas pedal, new customers. You have the steering wheel, which is the increasing transaction size, and then increasing customer value. You need your numbers, which is your dashboard, and then the creature comforts, which are the systems. So these are the critical pieces of the business. Everything else is superfluous. And again, this kind of gives you a little checklist of what you need to be worried about and what you don't need to be worried about. And next, it's putting all of this together in a plan. And Lee, you may not be surprised, but I actually have a system for creating and focusing these things into a plan, and that's probably the next place to move.
Okay. I'm not surprised at all. I would be shocked if you didn't have a fabulous plan.
So anyhow, and this is creating a plan, it seems like, oh man, this seems like a lot of work. But it's a little bit of focused time, and what I do ask is for 4 hours. If you invest 4 hours into creating a plan, I'm going to tell you, you're going to save 40 hours of time within the first month. It's going to be so much easier in your life if you have a simple plan that we're going to outline here. Does that seem easy enough, Lee? 4 hours? Does that seem reasonable?
I think almost any entrepreneur can find 4 hours to change the their direction of their business into a more profitable and more, not only profitable, but easier direction.
So 4 hours, your first 30 minutes is a candid review of last year. Take 30 minutes. Look at your calendar. Look at each month. What went right? What went wrong? What are some of the things that you want to do differently next year? Really give us a nice review, thoughtful look back at the last 12 months, and figure out what really what you want to build upon, what you want to maybe duplicate, and then if there are things that haven't worked for you, what you want to let go and not do in the next 12 months. Sounds easy enough?
It does.
So, all right. So next, the next 30 minutes is what are your goals and targets for the next 12 months? Where do you want to be in terms of revenue for your business? Now that we've figured out what that revenue goal is, how many new customers do you need between now and then in order to reach that goal? What is your transaction size now, and what do we need to do to that transaction size in order to help you reach your goal? If we increase that by 5%, how does that change the number of new customers you have to get? And then let's also look at your current customers, how often are they buying from you? And if we can get them to buy from you maybe one more time a year, or two more times a year, or one more time a month, how does that change your numbers? And now you create these three goals: the number of new customers, your transaction size, and the frequency that your customers buy from you. And so that's what this 30 minutes is about, is creating those three goals so that you can have targets for the next year. Makes sense? A little bit of work there. You probably need to crunch some numbers and maybe work with your bookkeeper, but easy enough.
Well, not only is it, I think, easy, Robert, but the truth is we get what we focus on psychologically. And if you say, I will be able to hit my target if I had 10 more customers paying X number of dollars, and then every day everybody in your office was focused on, okay, well, we only need 10 more, okay, well, we got 2, now we only need 8, and it actually builds a lot of camaraderie, and everybody loves that competitive spirit, so I love this.
And also, this one little piece completely transforms the business, because generally most businesses focus on all the problems. We got this to fix, we got that to fix, we got this person complaining, and all that stuff still happens, but your focus, your conversation, everything is on the growth and on the numbers, and the other is kind of noise that has to be taken care of, but it really completely transforms the conversation that you have with your people when you've got these kind of numbers and you're focusing their attention on the positive versus all the problems that come up. So,
right. And
so that's been an hour. We're an hour into this. The next 30 minutes are, let's look at your customer acquisition techniques. You know, I learned from Bill Glazer to create a marketing calendar. And so in a marketing calendar is simply taking the next 12 months and planning out what you're going to do in each month in order to generate new customers. And you know what? It may be this month it's all about researching what I'm going to do in month 2, 3, and 4. Or it could be, I got to create a new campaign. So in month 1, you've got to spend a few hours actually creating a campaign that you can launch in month 2. So if you don't have all the answers, that's fine. But more than anything, identify the fact that you need to find those answers and dedicate yourself to creating a 12-month plan, because very often with these marketing strategies and marketing things, if you're going to run an advertising campaign, you know, 4 months from now, you probably got to buy the ad space within the next few weeks, or else the space is going to be gone, or the issue is going to be closed, and you'll lose that opportunity. So having a calendar, and also the other thing about having a calendar is it makes it so easy when other people come to you with ideas. Oh, hey, I got this great rodeo coming up that you need to sponsor, or we've got this thing going on that you need to buy. You can see where it makes sense within your calendar and where it makes sense, incorporate it, and where it doesn't, don't. It gives you control of what you do in order to generate new customers, rather than it be your marketing being based on the last salesperson that's come to your office.
Well, I really like that, because you're teaching people to think and act versus react. And I think that's a very important point that a lot of people don't distinguish, is that they react to salespeople and they react to situations. But if you have a plan, then you'll know immediately if this offer is good for you or in the big picture or not.
Right. Just kind of, figure out with the next 12 months what you want to accomplish and how you're going to generate new customers. So that's 90 minutes. The next 30 minutes is, what are the promotions that you're going to do to existing customers? If you don't have a list of existing customers, then now that you use this time is to figure out what you're going to do in order to create that list of customers. You know, what kind of promotion are you going to run so that you can capture the names and addresses of every customer that comes in? What do I need to study in order to be able to make sure that I'm generating a customer list? As you have a customer list, what are the campaigns, what are the high profit things that you could be selling more of and making some more money? Let's do a campaign, and I don't mean let's discount the price. Let's make it you know, create some sort of package, some sort of special, some sort of promotion to let our existing customers know that we have this and to get them to come in versus going somewhere else. This is letting folks know if they don't remember you or think of you, then they're going to keep on going and go somewhere else. I have a friend who owns a restaurant, and I got him to capture all of his names and addresses, and he makes these fabulous muffins. Well, it's all about doing a promotion now. Instead of people driving by your restaurant, let's let them know the flavors of muffins that you have today and that they can get a muffin and coffee on their way to work versus going to Starbucks or somewhere else. So by using that list, what are the types of promotions that we can do over the next 12 months that are going to be able to make that happen? So we're 2 hours into this. Your third hour is actually broken up into three 20-minute segments. For 20 minutes, what are you going to do the next 12 months on the fulfillment side, getting things done? What are some of the ways that you can systemize, delegate, improve, and be more efficient about the way that you get things done? It could be that you want to hire somebody to replace yourself. Well, then you're not going to do that tomorrow, right? So you're going to have to figure out a job description. You're going to have to advertise. You're going to have to interview. You're going to have to select. You're going to have to hire. You're going to have to train. Well, then just, you and I both know that this doesn't happen overnight. Well, just plan it so that, maybe this month you create a job description, next month you create the advertising, the following month you do the interviews, you hire somebody, you provide a month or two of training so that you plan to get it done rather than go, oh man, I could hire an assistant. Well, let's just incorporate that in the plan and do it piecemeal so that it can happen versus, putting all this pressure and feeling guilty that you don't make it happen. Next, 20 minutes of administrative improvement. What changes do you need in operations or your team or software or tax structure or corporate? There's all this kind of administrative stuff that's out there. It could just be you need, a new corporation, or you need to replace the software you have. Let's just kind of think about those things and plan what month you want to get some of that stuff done. And then finally, take 20 minutes and look for the types of events that you want to go to. You probably participate in coaching programs. If you don't, you certainly should give some thought to that. What kind of seminars do you want to go to that you want to learn and improve yourself, get new ideas? What types of meetings do your coaching programs have that you need to incorporate? There may be weddings or things like that that you need to incorporate into your plan and make sure that you block off time for. And Lee, it may not be a bad idea to go ahead and block off time for a vacation.
Absolutely.
I can tell you if I don't block it off many months in advance, it doesn't happen.
Yes.
It's absolutely crucial that you go ahead and block that kind of time off. And both learning for yourself and then also maybe even give some thought your people's vacation. I went to a key employee just last week and said, hey, you haven't taken a two-week vacation in the last couple of years. Let's make this happen. Now, I can tell you from a business owner's perspective, you want your people to be gone for a couple of weeks because very often the most egregious problems aren't able to be covered up for the 2 weeks that they're gone, and so you're able to discover things that you wouldn't be able to if they weren't gone for 2 weeks. But that's not why I sent him away. I think it's an important recharge that I really want them to be gone for a while. But there's another reason why you want it to happen as well. So that's the third hour, final hour. You break this up into two 30-minute segments. First is big picture. Look at your calendar for the next 12 months. You've put all kinds of things. You've put you put new customer acquisition, you put maximize customer value time, you put administrative time, you put all these different things. Now look at it and go, can I really get this done in a month? You know, should I move some things around? You know, what are some of my priorities? How can I massage all these different tasks that I've loaded into my calendar? And how can I make sure that I'm not overloading myself in any particular month? Because it's very easy to say, oh, I'm going to get it all done this month. Well, now let's just focus on getting one thing done a month. And in each of these areas, and then what can I do and make it efficient? Just take 30 minutes, look over the calendar, make sure that it's going to be effective. Final 30 minutes, incorporate these dates and timelines into your own personal calendar. Lee, I know you do this. I do this as well. One of the reasons why I am so darn effective at getting things done is that I've got a plan. It's essentially a calendar, and I know exactly what projects I'm going to do. Really, at this point, it's actually I know 4 weeks from now, every week, for the next 4 weeks, exactly what client projects I'm going to do and when, and I've blocked off time for my stuff, my marketing, I've blocked off time for my clients' work, and blocked off time for my people, and I know if a client asks for something, I can go, well, I'm not going to be able to get it. I'm happy to do it for you, but it's going to have to be, 5 weeks from now because I've got everything blocked off. Having your time, it didn't start that way. I can tell you it started one day at a time where I just said, okay, today from this time to this time, I'm going to do this. And from this time to this time, I'm going to do that. You know, when I also did this originally, I also had more slack time in. I had a couple hours of just trying to catch up. And as I've been able to be more effective, I've been able to lessen that. Now it's only about an hour in my calendar is that kind of a day, is that kind of catch up time. But by planning your day, so take that big calendar that you've created and take at least this week and figure out what you're going to do this week in order to plan it. As you move forward, do it a month at a time. Go, okay, what am I going to do this month in order to make sure that I hit my goals? And I can tell you still, Lee, to this day, I have a monthly checklist. Every month, I go through that checklist, and there are dates of I need to schedule appointments with members of my team. There are times like, okay, I need to write my newsletter for this month, and I'll schedule time in my calendar for the month for that. And then there's also, I need to plan time for new customer acquisition. Make sure that I set aside a number of hours in my goal of how much time I want to set aside to do new client acquisition, and I block that off in my calendar so that if a client asks for me to do something, I look at my calendar and go, well, it's going to be 3 or 4 weeks be here before I can get that done. You know what? Generally, that's perfectly fine. The client is happy. If you're able, the thing is when you have this, you're going to be so more effective at actually getting things done and make them happen when you promise them. There's nobody that can get things done when they promise. If you're right. Actually somebody that can make it happen when you promise, then they're going to.
You're golden.
They're not going to run off or hire somebody else just because it's going to be a week or two more than they thought.
Well, listen, Robert, we have like 30 seconds before our hour is up. So everybody can reach you at www.associationmarketing.com. Mm-hmm. And just so everybody knows, Robert is 100% correct. He has supplied us with lots of reports that I'm going to share with you. So, folks, I don't know about you, but this is one of those interviews that you really should go and get
the transcript for and listen to and take notes and really take Robert to heart. Robert, thank you so much. This was fantastic. We deeply, deeply appreciate your wisdom. So we're going to call it a wrap, and thank you very much.